Thank you. You may be seated. And as we begin this morning, on behalf of our senior pastor and our church, I would like to thank you, veterans, for your service and for your sacrifice. It is greatly appreciated, and it does not go unnoticed. If you have your copy of God's Word, please open it up, turn it on. We are going to be in Galatians chapter 6. That is Galatians chapter 6, and we are going to look in verses 9 through 10. And if you are here with us for the first time, welcome. We're glad that you're here and that you chose to worship with us this morning. This morning is a little bit different because this is the gift weekend, and it is during the gift weekend that our church comes together, and for just in the morning, on Sunday morning, on the second or third Sunday of November, we come together and we do missions here in Allen, Texas, at our church that affect people around the world, okay? And that's what we do every year on the gift weekend. And some of you just got done participating in meal packing. How many of y'all did meal packing earlier today? There we go. Yeah, there we go. By the end of the day, we will have packed Cottonwood Creek Church 112,000 meals that we are going to ship over to Kenya. And that journey begins for that food tomorrow morning. But what we do here today is we talk about missions that happen here locally that affect us locally, but also nationally and internationally. And as the missions and connections pastor, I know what's kind of going through some of your minds. You're going to go, you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know what? This guy is going to try to convince me to get on a plane and to go on a mission trip. And the answer to that question is no. So turn to the person next to you and go, whoo, I got out of that. All right, you got out of it, okay? My goal here today is not to try to convince you to go on a mission trip. However, the goal here today is to look at Scripture and to see what God tells us to do as Christians, for us to be obedient Christians to God's Word. It is not about whether you get on a plane or not, but whether it is, are you willing to be faithful to God's call on your life? It says this in Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Real quick, I only have two thoughts today. So turn to the person next to you and go, woohoo, we're getting out early. Guys, I only have two thoughts today, and we're going to move through this fairly quickly. But here's the first thought that we see from this passage. And the first thought is this: doing good is every Christian's duty. Doing good is every Christian's duty. When you look at verse 9, what does it say? Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. In verse 9, Paul is writing to those in Galatia, and they are doing good, and he gives them some encouragement. He says, hey, don't let up, don't stop, keep on going. Do not become lazy, but keep pushing through. We are all called to do something. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 3, it says this: trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Jesus, when he's teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, he says this in Matthew 5, 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for each one of us. We are here, you are here, I am here to do good works for the glory of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, what does it say? We were created in Christ Jesus for the very purpose, for the very reason of doing good. Now, when you look at things and you look at our lives, we are all different, are we not? We look different, we act different, we all have different personalities, we all have different talents, we all have different abilities. Not only that, but we all come from different backgrounds. Each one of us here is unique, and each one of us here is different. But just because we are different and we have been gifted with abilities to do good things, it does not mean that we should not do anything. There are two common excuses that people have for doing good. And here's the first one. The first common excuse is time. I don't have the time. And no doubt we are all busy. We all have jobs. Most of us in this room have kids. Can I just complain for a minute? A few weeks ago, my wife got sick. Okay? How many dads are with me on that? Okay? So my wife gets sick, and it's Saturday, and she says, will you please run the kids around to all of their activities on Saturday? And as a good husband, what did I say? Yes! I said, absolutely, honey. I love you. I cannot wait to serve you. That's not what I said. I went, how early do I have to get up on Saturday morning? And she was like, 6. And I was like, we need marital counseling. Anyway, so I get up and I run my kids around. A half a tank of gas, and 8 hours later, we're done. Anybody with me on this? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I see your hand back there. You're like, yeah, I'm right here. You're with me on that. It took all Saturday just running my kids around. We're busy. We are all busy, and a lot of us have a lot of our time occupied, but we don't have all of our time occupied. Let me say that again. We have a lot of our time occupied, but not all of our time is occupied. Carl Sandburg said this, time is the coin of your life. It is the only coin you have, and only you can determine how it is spent. Be careful lest you let other people spend it for you. I understand that we are all busy, and we all have things that we need to do. How many of you in here, if you don't mind me asking, are retired? How many of y'all? I was talking with my dad a few weeks ago. I said, so Dad, how's retirement treating you? And he made this comment. He said, I'm busier now than when I was working full time and raising you and your sister. Some of you in retirement, y'all feel that way? I'm busier now than I was 15, 20 years ago. But it's not about you just being busy, but it is that rather. Do you make the most of every opportunity? Rick Warren said this, the best use of life is love. The best expression of love is time. And the best time to love is now. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, it says this, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Making the best use of time. Scripture says, hey, listen, you don't need to make more time. You don't need to cancel what you're doing, but take what you're doing and make sure you maximize it as much as you possibly can. Use every opportunity. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Be careful then how you live, not as the unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. You might be able to do a lot of good a lot of the times. You might be able to only do a little good some of the time that you have had. The point is to do good, not to miss the opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity. Even if you get home late, either a Friday night or a Saturday night, and there's something for you to do Sunday morning, either here at church or Saturday morning, you need to go and you need to do something. And it would just be much easier to pick up the phone and just give the excuse, I got in late last night and we're pretty tired. What a missed opportunity that maybe God could use you, that you could impact somebody's life. They may even impact your life. So don't allow time to be an excuse. Make the most of every opportunity presented to you. But then the second most common excuse is ability. I don't know how, or I don't know what I am good at. Scripture says this in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. As I mentioned earlier, each one of us are created differently. We are unique in order to do good. But God has gifted each one of us differently. So there are some of you here in this room that are engineers, right? You're engineers and you like numbers and you like equations. It's sick and twisted. I don't know why, but that's the way God's made you, okay? And there is no way that they will be greeters and open up the door for you here at church, because that's just not how they're wired. We have people here that love children. You guys are the real crazies. They love children and they serve in our children's ministry. And you love kids. Man, I barely love my own kids. How in the world can I love someone else's kids? I don't know how they do it. But they will never get on a plane and go on a mission trip. That's just not how they're wired. But they love children. We are all built and gifted differently. And guess what? That is okay. We are all built differently, and so therefore we serve differently. And so the question becomes for you, well, I want to serve, I want to do some good, but I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't even know what I'm good at. Let me give you two things that you can do. Firstly, you can get involved, or you can simply take a spiritual gifts test that will tell you spiritually, hey, this is what God has blessed you with. For some of you, it might be teaching. For others of you, it might be encouragers. You are the guys we want out there on the front doors, okay? For some of you, you have the gift of administration. You'd be great directors, okay? But God has given you a spiritual gift, and we should use it. And if you don't know what that is, you can take a spiritual gifts test. Also, second way you can find out how you can serve God is you can take a predictive index. This is a personality test. It's really cool. It takes about 5 minutes, but it takes a few days for us to work through that and to send it back to you. It's highly accurate, but some of you, you might be a maverick, or you might be a trailblazer, or you might be a particular type of personality. But there is a tool there for you to be able to find out more how God has wired you. If you want to take either or both of these tests, you can simply text GOOD to 77978. Text GOOD. Go ahead, pull your phone out right now and text GOOD to 77978. You'll get a link right there. And you can click on taking either the spiritual gifts test or the personality test, or what's known as the predictive index. And that will help you navigate and find out who you are, how God built you, so that you can better find a place to go and to serve. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And this leads us to our second thought. Turn to the person next to you and say, woohoo, we're halfway through. Okay, we're halfway through. This is our second thought. We're on the downhill slide here. And here's what Scripture says. And here's what we learn from verse 10. Don't miss out on showing people God's love. Don't miss out showing people God's love. There in verse 10, it says this, therefore, as we have every opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. There are so many opportunities to do good, not only here at Cottonwood Creek, but also in our community. There's an opportunity for you to do good in your office, an opportunity for you to do good on the football field. There's an opportunity for you to do good in a deer stand, okay? There is that opportunity. There are opportunities everywhere for us to do good. Just a few days ago, our staff got together. And what was so cool is that we all decided, hey, listen, let's go to North Texas Food Bank and let's serve there to pack meals. We ask you to come up here on Sunday morning to pack meals. Let us go and be an example and go and pack meals with the North Texas Food Bank. If you don't know this, Tricia Cunningham, who is a member of our church, is the CEO of the North Texas Food Bank, which is awesome, right? And so we thought we'd go up there and we'd do that. So we're all standing around and we're in this waiting room before we could go in there, and Reliant Energy walks in. Okay, and Reliant Energy has a group of about 15 people there. We're all standing there. They're standing there, and I have to get up and give like a quick devotional. And so I stand up, and I just kind of give the Reliant Energy people an out. I was like, hey, listen, guys, I got to talk to our staff. So y'all can just kind of hang out and do whatever. So I gave them an out. And this lady from Reliant, she just raises her hand, and she goes, hey, listen, will you pray for us? And just simply by her saying that and shouting that out, guess what? That opens up an opportunity for a whole bunch of church workers to begin to witness and to share the love of Jesus Christ. And as I presented that devotional, I thought there would kind of be some grumblings amongst some folks. Guess what? Everyone was dead silent, and they listened to the Word of God simply because a lady stood up. And she said, hey, would you pray for us? She took an opportunity and she seized it to do some good. Of course, during the pandemic, COVID did not stop you, Cottonwood Creek. We may not have traveled a whole lot. We may not have gone on a lot of mission trips outside the state, even outside of the U.S., but that doesn't mean that we didn't do anything. If you look at what we've done in 2020, 2021 this year, just this year with Fun with the Sun, we packed 1,000 school bags. We gave away 400 of them here locally, as well as telling the gospel 400 times as we hand those school bags out. The other 600 were donated to Allen ISD, McKinney ISD, Van Alstine ISD, and all the way up to Denison. This year, you have raised $15,000 to give to the North Texas Food Bank. We have hosted 3 food distributions here on our campus with both the North Texas Food Bank and Community Lifeline Center. You have paid for and also volunteered 80 people from our church to build a house out in our parking lot. I don't know if y'all remember this. And then we shipped it all the way down to South Texas. We put it together there and we gave it to a widow and her son. Y'all did that. And we look forward to starting another one on January 8th of 2022. You have given money and supported by volunteering at the Hope Women's Center and Real Options for Women, both organizations that help mothers that are debating whether they are going to keep their child or not. And we give them biblical advice and biblical guidance in keeping their unborn child. We have Cottonwood Creek members that volunteer at the Hope Medical Center, those that don't have medical insurance. We have countless people that are involved in serving in our care ministry, Celebrate Recovery, Grief Share, Divorce Care, and the list goes on. We have a group of people that help those that are orphans and that are looking for foster care, and they put orphans with adoptive parents in our Woven Ministry, as well as foster kids with foster parents. We have a Cottonwood Creek cancer ministry, and their whole focus is just to minister to those that are going through and battling cancer, but not only those that are going through and battling cancer, but also the families that are having to go through that as well. And I haven't even begun to hit the list of what the student ministry is doing and what the children's ministry is doing and what each of our individual life groups are doing. And did you know that we have a life group that once every Wednesday, they go to the North Texas Food Bank and they serve. They get together and they have an opportunity to serve. And guys, there are so many things that are going on, so many areas to serve, guys. We just want to encourage you to get out there and to serve, to find what God has given you, how He has blessed you, and the gifts He has given you, and to go out there and to put them to good use. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27, it says this: "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act." When it is in your power to act, don't withhold good from those. I'm going to ask Bob and Julie. I hope they're back there because they've been out talking. Oh, hey, there they are. This is Bob and Julie Mendonza. And as we close today, Bob and Julie, if you don't know who they are, they run an orphanage in Kenya called Naomi's Village. Over the past 8 to 10 years, Cottonwood Creek, we have sent multiple mission trips and people there to serve at this orphanage. Not only that, in 2019 as well as 2020, you have donated each of those years $10,000 to help them build Cornerstone Christian Academy that is there in Kenya. It is a Christian academic academy. So they not only teach kids about how God has created this earth, okay, in creation, but they teach kids who God is in salvation. They teach them how to have eternal life. And there are so many things that that they do. And Cottonwood, you have supported them for many, many years, and I thought it would be good for you to at least know them and to know their face. If you don't know this, right outside here, we have people that are writing cards, Christmas cards, to these kids that are orphans in their orphanage. The food that we are packing right now is going to these guys. Isn't that cool? That's how we partner together. And so anyway, I've asked Bob and Julie to be here. And so just Bob and Julie, real quick, we want to hear from you. And so just kind of tell us the story. Bob, I'm going to ask you this question. Kind of tell us the story of how God first took you to Kenya. How'd you get there?
Yeah. Much like many people in this room, we were living the American dream. Back in the early 2000s, we were in Flower Mound, and I just was a few years into my orthopedic surgery practice. We loved our home. We loved our dogs. We loved the church. I probably shouldn't have put it in that order, by the way, that we were going to. Loved our kids. Had a great group of friends. And just had everything that we had always wanted to have to be happy at that time. But then God interrupted. And, I mean, we weren't looking for some upheaval in our lives or adventure. And He invited me through a friend that had grown up in the Philippines outside of my comfort zone. And this friend said, "Hey, do you want to go visit my people?" And, you know, next thing you know, I'm going with him to visit this tribal group that his parents had translated scripture for 24 years in the remote jungles of the main island of Luzon in 2001. And I stayed in a thatch roof hut and had no electricity or running water and ate the weirdest foods. And it was a really incredible foray into mission
work. I just want to interrupt. Every mission trip we go on, we always have running water. Yeah. But that's all I can guarantee. All right, keep on going.
But while I was there, one of the tribal members needed surgery. It was a situation that God used my orthopedic training and brought me to this place at just the right time. And over a few days' time, I not only operated on him, but took care of him. And the care that I provided saved his life, but it also set my life on a different course. And I went back to Flower Mound after that, and I was changed. The way I looked at Texas had completely just been transformed. I felt like God had torn my heart open. And then the next year, I was asked to go on a trip to the Amazon, and I went with a team, and we ministered God's grace to people that were so far off the grid. And we used, you know, the practical gifts that we had, but also the spiritual gifts we had to care for people that were in dire need. And I couldn't begin to tell you all that happened, but again, I came back from that changed and had this new perspective on the kingdom and what God could do through my life. And Julie at the time was resisting the idea of taking a trip herself. This was in the shadow of 911, and you know, she was afraid, understandably so. And then in a church service on a Wednesday night in 2002, God spoke to her specifically and opened her heart. And then 2 weeks after that, we were invited to go and serve in Kajabi, Kenya, this rural mission station by Samaritan's Purse. And we took our 4 and 5-year-old, Julie went bravely, and we were there for a whole month. And I saw dozens of patients, operated on people with all kinds of maladies. My very first patient was attacked by a hippo, had his lower leg crushed by the bite of a hippo. That's not something you see typically in suburban Dallas.
Yeah, that happened to me last week.
Did it? Yeah. Yeah. It's not in the textbooks either, surprisingly. But God used those experiences to again, not just shock and surprise me, but to draw me into something that he was doing through my life and through Julie's and the kids who also served there in the hospital while we were there. And then he took us on this beautiful safari. We went and saw God's creation up close in a way that we had never seen it before. And it was sort of that juxtaposition of this incredible suffering of humanity that we saw and then God's beautiful creation. Those two things is what God used to profoundly impact us. We went back for 2 months each year for the next 3 years on 3 additional trips, and God just kept drawing us into what he was doing in Kenya as a family. And so we kept going back.
Julie, what led you to start Naomi's Village?
Well, Bob told you about the very first trip and then the 3 subsequent trips that we made after that first one. The first trip really was focused on medical care and time spent in the hospital, and it was those ensuing trips where God began to shift our focus from medical care to orphan care. So on the second trip and beyond, I got more involved within the local community. Our 2 children and I had opportunities to work with HIV/AIDS support groups. So we would spend days ministering to and caring for children who were dying of this horrible disease. I also had many opportunities to meet a lot of grandmothers who were struggling to raise their grandbabies who had also been orphaned primarily due to AIDS. It seemed like everywhere I went in this dirty little town called Mayumihu, children were parentless, they were not going to school, they were hungry, and they were completely without hope. It wasn't all due to the AIDS epidemic, but really just the brutal outworking of being born into extreme poverty. So I started researching what was going on in Kenya as a whole and discovered that there were 2.6 million orphans in Kenya alone. That's twice the population of the entire city of Dallas. It's a big number, so kind of hard to make it personal. A way to think about it is that every 7 minutes, a child in Kenya says goodbye to their parents forever. So this was incredibly unsettling for me, very disturbing, and I felt it deserved a response. What had been named before the orphan crisis, this nameless, faceless problem that really was somebody else's to deal with had suddenly become quite personal. And it was wrong what was happening. And I felt that now it was partly my responsibility. So we started taking practical steps, doing things that we needed to do. We started a feeding program. We bought shoes for 600 children. And then with tears in our eyes, we just started speaking up about the injustice of it all. And as we did, a local Kenyan couple showed us a 5-acre piece of land that they currently owned that they always believed would be used for the care of orphans. And that is actually where Naomi's Village home sits today. In short, how did Naomi's Village, like, how did God lead us to do this? He utterly broke our hearts for what breaks his.
So what's kind of the vision for Naomi's Village?
Yeah, thank you, Justin. The kids she mentioned are just some of the thousands of kids that live in the Great Rift Valley in severe poverty. And the vision of Naomi's Village is to raise those kids to be like an army of redemptive servant leaders who intervene in Kenya's two main problems, which are systemic corruption and generational poverty themselves when they grow up, to equip and enable and empower them to do the work. That's the vision of our ministry. And that requires a lot. It requires that we provide all that's needed for every child we serve, no matter what their age is, so that they're ready to do that work. So our programs, our people, our school, our house, our children's home, everything there in Kenya reflects the commitment to that vision.
So y'all have been at this now for 11 years?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, about 11 years.
Yeah, almost 11 years.
Yeah,
that's right.
And Cottonwood has kind of been there for, you know, about 8, 9, 10 years, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of in varying capacities. Kind of how much progress have y'all made? I mean, 2.6 million yeah. orphans in the state of Kenya, that's a lot in a very small area. So what kind of progress have you made so far?
Well, first off, let me say, we love unwinnable battles, and I put quotes around unwinnable. We don't believe that things that are that large should be ignored. We don't believe cynicism is an answer to anything. And we're raising an army of kids who will one day do this work. So the 2.6 million may not go away during our lifetime, but it will one day. And it has to happen through the right approach. But what's happened so far has been amazing. In just 11 years, and this is going to go by pretty fast, so saddle up. In 2009, we broke ground on a 10,000-square-foot home on that 5-acre piece of land that she mentioned. And it took about 14 months to build the home, and then we started to bring in children. The first one was a 4-year-old boy named Joshua, and Joshua's entire family was killed by his father one night in a one-room rural house. And then the father hung himself, and Joshua was left as the only survivor. Joshua came in, and then within 3 months, we had 14 children living in our home, and 2 years later, there were 35. As part of our vision to raise kids, we needed a good school. If these kids were going to grow up to be redemptive leaders, and there wasn't one in the community. So we founded Cornerstone Preparatory Academy, which Justin alluded to earlier, at Naomi's Village on the children's home grounds in 2013. And it was such an overnight success. That was a wonderful thing. But God called us then to expand it to the community at large for children that were not orphaned and living with us. And so in 2014, about 4 miles away, we found a 24-acre piece of land and began building a 32,000-square-foot home. It took another 18 months to build. And now that school is a K-8 academy that has a total of 280 students going there every day, most of them from the community. We then founded a preschool for 3- and 4-year-olds that has 100 kids that attend a literacy-rich, play-focused school every day. We've since built a gymnasium at the school. We built a track and field for the kids. There are multiple community programs we've founded, including one that intervenes in the lives of pregnant mothers and those with babies age 1 to 2 to ensure that they raise healthy children who will then become our students later on. And we continue to add children with time each year to our school. We now have 160 staff. We have 7 buses that pick up kids, and this is a major, major ministry. I mean, we could talk infrastructure and programs and staff all day, but what's most amazing is the kids. What's happened on the canvases of their broken lives is incredible. I mentioned Joshua earlier. Today, if you were to come visit with him and see him, you would never know that happened to him. He's a gregarious, intelligent, motivated, hopeful 14-year-old boy. And God has changed his life through all the love he's received, all the positive inputs. It's been like night and day. And he's not alone. There are hundreds of other kids because of these programs and because of the help that so many in this room have provided. So thank you.
So just real quick, last question. How can we help? We as a church help? Somebody here individually might want to help. How can they do that? How can they maybe move from a corporate standpoint to our church, you know, helping and going on mission trips there and sending funds to help that? But what can these guys do individually if they want to?
Thank you. First, let me start by saying thank you, Justin, John Mark, Cottonwood Creek, all of you out there. In the last 8 years, this church and you all as individual members, you have helped us to build a laundry facility. You've helped us install security fencing. You've helped us put up sound dampening panels in our dining hall and library. You've helped us, as Justin said, build school buildings. You've come out on teams, which is just so wonderful. Every year when you do this special weekend, the gift, you pack hundreds of thousands of meals that go to feed those hungry families that I met so many years ago. Sunday school classes sponsor children here, and then individual members here sponsor children. So you all are just a fantastic partner. We could not do what we're doing in Kenya without your help, truly. How can you get involved today? The greatest thing that you could do is sponsor a child. We have 100 LEAP preschool students, and the vast majority of those students don't have a sponsor. So we have a table out in the foyer. We've got our U.S. team out there ready to help. There's a form you fill out in about 2 minutes' time, and for about $1 a day, you can truly change a child's life. It'll probably change your life too, but it will definitely change that child's life. We have folders on the table for capital needs that we are looking towards as we close out the year, primarily the construction of our middle school, high school, so that we can expand the capacity and increase the number of children that we can help. Come out on a team if you can, and of course, pray for us, pray with us, and just keep up this great partnership that we have going. Bob and I will be out there after the service, and we look forward to visiting with you and hopefully introducing you to some of those LEAP preschool students whose pictures are on the table.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Julie, for coming. I'm going to ask Jody, if you would please escort these guys back there to the table. We would love for you to meet with them. And some of you might want to run out there and talk with them. They kind of got caught up here. Some people ran up here just after service last time. And so they were a little late getting back there. So we want to make sure they get back there. But thank you, Bob and Julie, for being here. As we conclude today, what can you do? You can go by and visit Bob and Julie. You can do an Operation Christmas Child box. You can still donate your hair. That's just inside these walls. There are so many things beyond these walls that you can do as well. God calls us to go and to be lights in this dark world, to go and to do good. And so I want to encourage you through Scripture to go and to do good. And let me just say this is, we can go and we can do good like a lot of other people, but the reason why we go and the reason why we do good is because of what Jesus Christ did upon the cross 2,000 years ago. That's what makes it worth it. Amen? That's what makes it worth it. And so if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would love to talk to you today, or one of our ministers, or John Mark is here. We'd love to talk to you about knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, what he did, how he was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross, but then rose from the dead 3 days later so that we might have eternal life. And it is us that are called to go and to be salt and light and to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So find an opportunity to go and to serve. Students, some of y'all are sitting over here, student ministry. Hey, I want to tell you what, there's a great opportunity for you to serve. This week, Operation Christmas Child, get this. Usually we collect boxes and we kind of ship them to another church to load onto these big trucks. This is so cool. Cottonwood, for the first year, we are stepping up to the plate, and our goal is to load 5 semi-trucks full of Operation Christmas Child boxes that are going to go around the world. We need some help doing that. If you might need some service hours, I'm just going to do a shameless plug. Text OCC to 77978, and there's an opportunity for you to sign up, not only to get service hours, but also to do some good this week. I want to encourage you, church member, let's go and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let's go and be salt and light in this dark world. Let's pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this day. Thank you that we could come here, that God, we could be encouraged. God, I thank you for Bob and Julie and their example to us as they follow you there in Kenya. God, while we are here in Allen, Father, the good work that they're doing over there, Father, we can do good here. It is not better. It is not worse. God, it is just simply different. And so, God, may we honor you in our service and in how we serve you. God, may we show people your salvation just by simply in how we live and in how we serve. God, thank you that we could be here for worship this morning. Thank you for your blessings. And God, please be with us as we go into this world and then as we come back together next weekend. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.